Welcome to the Absolute Unit Podcast. Joshua Jenkins here with Brandon Lansdowne. Brandon, it's been a couple weeks since our last episode, and so how you been doing the last couple weeks?
Been doing all right, fighting a little bit of sickness, and but I'm on the mend, and so I'm glad to be here. How have you been?
Well, since we last talked, the Kansas City Chiefs became world champions.
That's right.
Once again, so just, you know, I'm on a championship high right now. Patrick Mahomes, sprained ankle through two playoff games, just playing his heart out like an absolute unit.
That's right. So
it was good to see. But anyway, today in this episode, we want to talk about a couple different things, but we want to start off talking about David's mighty men in the Bible. And some of you I know Ian has requested we cover this, and of course it's right up our alley. So David's mighty men, we're going to walk through some of these stories and feats of strength and talk about them. One of the passages that details this that we're going to look at is 1 Chronicles 11. And I'm just going to read a few pieces at a time, and we'll just riff on it here. So this is 1 Chronicles 11:10. It says, "Now these are the chiefs of David's mighty men who gave him strong support in his kingdom together with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. This is the account of David's mighty men. Jashubim, a Hachmonite, was chief of the three, and he wielded his spear against 300 whom he killed at one time." So there's the first act of valor from these mighty men. This chief of the three wields his spear against 300. So that reminds me some of Samson, a similar event with Samson killing off hundreds of Philistines. And here he does it, Jashubim, with a spear. And I just can't imagine 300 men at one time. And you've got a spear, so you've got to be like plunging in and out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how else you would do that. It's not like a double-sided blade where you can just like swipe through guys, you know. Extremely, extremely impressive. Then it says, "Next to him, among the three mighty men, was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. He was with David at Pasdamim when the Philistines were gathered there for battle. And there was a plot of ground full of barley, and the men fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and killed the Philistines. And the Lord saved them by a great victory." So I love this one because we have more than simply just this incredible feat of strength or fighting in battle. But we also get a real good picture of masculine strength, masculine Christianity, where they're in battle against the Philistines. The other men there with David fled. Okay, so you have the opposite of what masculine strength is, fleeing from battle, fleeing from trouble and threats. And when everyone else flees, this mighty man of David, he takes his stand. That's what a man is supposed to do, right? He takes his stand in the midst of this plot of barley, defending it and killing off the Philistines. Mm. So we have the idea of bravery and courage, standing even when everyone else flees from battle, when everyone else's heart fails them, an absolute unit stands and fights. And then the aspect too of, hey, this is our plot right here. This is our plot of barley, and we're not just going to let you take it. You know, we're going to defend it. And he defended it to the death and killed the Philistines. The next one, three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David at the cave of Adullam, when the army of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold on the garrison, and the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. And David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, "Far be it from me before my God that I should do this. Shall I drink the lifeblood of these men? For at the risk of their lives they brought it." Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. So in this case, we've got the three that are kind of running an undercover operation here to go into enemy stronghold, which, of course, would eventually belong to David, Bethlehem. That was the city of David. And so it was kind of meant to be theirs. They kind of go in while it's still in enemy hands, risking their lives for what? To give David the drink from the well that he desired. Of course, David won't take it here in this instance and pours it out to the Lord as an offering. But just the fact that you have these men, so here we see kind of elements not only of bravery in doing something like that, but in loyalty to their king. Like, they'll do it. They've sworn service to him, so they're going to literally do anything for him at the risk of their own lives, even something which might seem to us reading that as trivial as water from this well. And so,
yeah, and I think that that's something that is sorely missed, you know, whether we realize it or not today, of just having you know, that sense of brotherhood and camaraderie and togetherness that, you know, we've talked about it in the past, of just like in facing physical hardships. You know, we talked about, you know, our camping trips and things like that, of just doing hard things together as men, and there being this element of unity or bonding that takes place. And so certainly this is a testament to that. And, you know, I think that, you know, more men would greatly benefit from having that type of brotherhood and loyalty to one another. And then, yeah, just to make the story that much more astounding is that, you know, they're doing incredible feats of strength and displaying incredible amounts of bravery and certainty in the thing that they're doing. And so I think, man, just what absolute units these dudes are to be so steadfast in that, and to be so certain of their cause. And certainly, you know, doing these things underneath the banner of their God that they serve, you know, makes it that much more I guess remarkable, is, you know, or impressive, that I think that these are men. These are men who are acting like men, and men who are unashamedly serving you know, their people because of their devotion first and foremost to God and then to one another.
Yeah, and one of the things I like about this particular story is it's not so much it's not only a story of strength, but really this one seems to be more a story of their wits, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the way the story tells, it seems like they kind of got in some sort of secretive undercover type of way.
Seems that way.
And it wasn't like they just went in and slew the city and got the water, but they went in, got the water, got out. And so really, I mean, in all these things, we kind of see these major elements of what we call an absolute unit, with physical stature and strength, devotion to God and loyalties to David and the right loyalties they have, and then just mental awareness and ability and smarts, you know, all those combinations. They're not just big, dumb jocks, you know. They've got smarts, wits, and faith.
These are tactical dudes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tactical, that's the word, yep. So all of those combining into one makes for that well-rounded man of God.
Yep.
The next one here, 1 Chronicles 11:20, it says, "Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief of the 30, and he wielded his spear against 300 men and killed them and won a name beside the 3. He was the most renowned of the 30 and became their commander, but he did not attain to the 3. So again, another guy with spear and 300 men he kills at one time. Just the fact that that's something that these group of men did on multiple occasions shows us that it wasn't just like dumb luck or something or just mere chance, but like this was something they had the skills, ability, and the heart to do and did it on multiple occasions. Multiple of these guys. So the training and the unity of training and combat they probably had together was impressive. And it played out in real life situations.
Yeah.
Next one in verse 22, it says, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was a valiant man of Kabzeel, a doer of great deeds. He struck down 2 heroes of Moab. He also went down and struck down a lion in a pit on a day when the snow had fallen. And he struck down an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits tall. The Egyptian had in his hand a spear like a weaver's beam, but Benaiah went down to him with a staff and snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and won a name beside the 3 mighty men. He was renowned among the 30, but he did not attain to the 3, and David set him over his bodyguard." Mm. So this dude has multiple things, but I like that one of the first lines here where it says, Benaiah, he was a valiant man, a doer of great deeds.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact to, I mean, that's something in a God-honoring way to attain to desire, seek to attain to as a man with your life, just to be known, to be a doer of great deeds. You know, that's something that we can strive for in our own way, in our own lives, is that our posterity knows, man, my great-great-grandfather, he did some great things.
Yeah.
He was a doer of great deeds. That's a beautiful thing to be remembered for.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you combine that with what we've already touched on, you know, really kind of the reason, you know, for these deeds, you know, because they're not, I would presume, they're not doing these great deeds for the sake of their name. I mean, yes, that's something that is certainly, you know, at times probably considered. You know, I don't want to be thought of as a coward or, you know, someone who flees. So thinking of it in that regard, but, you know, they're not doing these things for their own renown, but yet they're still receiving it, that they're known amongst their own men, you know, within this brotherhood as, you know, as a man of great deeds, as a valiant man, as, you know, as a courageous man, which, you know, I think is something that we should all desire. Again, not for our own praise, our own renown, but because we just want to be that type of man amongst other men who are, you know, that same type of man.
And exactly to that point, you have a number of these different guys who had these incredible skills and strengths, and they're not fighting against one another. They don't turn on one another.
Yeah.
You know, out of vainglory or wanting to promote themselves higher up in rank, they are content to be within their rank and position and be committed with faithfulness to their cause. And that is an amazing thing. Now, one thing about Benaiah here that we read that you can kind of gloss over in the English translations is, it's still there in verse 22. It says he struck down 2 heroes of Moab. Now, I can't regurgitate all the information to you, but I was reading on this, and it is highly likely, especially with the Hebrew words underlying 2 heroes of Moab, highly likely that these were 2 giants, literal giants. The Moabites were known as having giants among them in the Bible, and also, you see Goliath of Gath. He's called, you know, the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And but the word underneath that too implies giants. And so this dude took 2 of them.
Benaiah the giant slayer.
Benaiah the giant slayer. That's right.
Oh, and oh, yeah. You know, by the way, he killed a lion as well.
Yeah, not bad either. Not only that, in a pit. He was stuck in a pit. So it's kill the lion or be killed. You know, kill or die. And he does it.
To increase the degree of difficulty, there was also snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. And so, right. Yeah, just, you know, went down and struck down a lion. It's amazing.
Then Benaiah, he won't quit, strikes down an Egyptian who's also called a man of great stature. Mm-hmm. 5 cubits tall. What would that translate to? Cubit was about 18 inches.
I think cubit was 18 inches.
So I can't do math, but pretty tall.
That would be 100.
Be like 9.
126 is.
I think 9 feet something is what that would be.
Nine. Be closer to, yeah, 10 feet.
So a smaller size giant here. A large sized man who's an Egyptian. And not only that, but he goes and takes this spear, which is like a weaver's beam. So there's some size and weight to this thing. Yes. Takes it out of his hand. Kills him with his own weapon.
It's 126 inches, which would be 10 and a half feet.
10 and a half feet. There you go. Kills him with his own. He goes down to him with just a staff. Gets the spear out of his hand. Or the beam, and kills him with his own weapon. So very, very impressive. You see a lot of times, like, on there's kind of these joke online videos where you'll have these guys who are really serious about what do you do when you're in a situation and a guy pulls a gun on you, and they show you these moves to get the gun out of you. And you watch it like, this is not going to happen. But Benaiah, he did it. He made it happen. And then it goes on, and we won't read through it, but it just lists off all these mighty men and puts their name in memorial in the Word of God. And as I was thinking about this and the significance of it, there's a few things to note for our purposes on this podcast. And that is that we have here just this list of feats of strength that were done by these mighty men in service to David and their God. They're recorded for us to remember, and all the scripture, including these, are beneficial for us in the faith.
Yeah.
For training in righteousness. And so I think just a couple things off the top. One is we see in the way that these stories are told that the strength they displayed is a virtuous thing. So it's not something that is looked like, oh, look at all these toxic guys and these, you know, toxic things. No, this is honorable, valiant things of courage and strength that these guys did. So that tells us in and of itself the way the Bible thinks about strength.
Yeah.
As when used appropriately is a good thing, is a virtuous thing.
Right.
Something to be commended, honored, respected, and used in the right ways. And then the other thing too is that these stories of strength, killing of the lion, the killing of the giants, the Philistines that were slain, these stories of strength also show us aspects of the gospel. They show us the power and strength of Christ in defeating his enemies, which is held up as this is a good part of the work of Christ. Not only was he a man who humbled himself, willingly went to the cross and died, yes and amen, but in that, he was the strong man who bound the enemy. He was the one who slayed the dragons, slayed the ancient serpent, who defeats the giants, and so forth. And so these men are held up as a great model and type of the strength and power of Christ in the gospel.
Yeah.
And so that then applies then through Christ to us in our lives and how we're to live.
Yeah.
And things we're to strive to attain toward.
Yeah. And I think that's a good word that, again, you know, something that we've lost you know, where, you know, masculinity and you know, just lifting weights and being strong and getting jacked and all of these things are just, you know, just silly, trivial things that you know, aren't important. And certainly in and of themselves, I would agree, you know, but in the ways that we talk about it in terms of using our strength for good and godly reasons or purposes, and, you know, and for lending our strength towards our family and our church and our community. You know, this is something that I'm glad to see that you know, there seems to be a pretty good resurgence of this, or maybe just a birth of it. I don't know if it's even a resurgence, but, you know, certainly within, you know, kind of the circles that we run in on social media with, you know, reform dudes that are wanting to get back in the gym and are wanting, you know, wanting to lose some weight, wanting to put on some muscle, wanting to gain that confidence that we've talked about. And again, like, all of these things being done with the intent of glorifying God and, you know, lifting to glorify God, which is something that we've talked about, and displaying strength and carrying yourself with confidence for the glory of God and all of these things. Like, that's just, it's something I'm glad to see and I want to see more of. And so I think, you know, the point that you just made is good and right on, that, you know, all of these things that we're striving for can and should point to Christ and the strength that he displayed and the masculinity that he showed through his life and his death. So yeah, I'm with that 100%.
Yeah. It's a fact that they're remembered as David's mighty men,
yeah,
not as David's weaklings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those guys didn't get written down and remembered.
We don't know who they are.
We don't know who they are. So, well, with that, there's been a discussion a little bit in the chat. And again, if you guys are listening and are not part of that and would like to be, reach out to one of us on Twitter. It's a good place for encouragement and help and accountability and just good times. And so one of the conversations or questions you were asked about in the chat,
yeah,
is the issue of mobility.
Yep.
And why it's important and how it can help us in strength training and things like that. So I'll just give the floor to you and you take us where you want and talk about mobility.
Yeah, I think mobility is oftentimes overlooked, and it's something that is really pretty critical in terms of getting stronger and faster, you know, and adding weight to your lifts, you know, not just for the sake of you know, racking up numbers, but for the intent of you know, just becoming more well-rounded in strength and speed and those types of things. And so mobility is pretty critical when it comes to that. And, you know, we don't think about it often. You know, not a lot of people talk about it. It's just, you know, let's just keep squatting heavy and, you know, let's keep working on the deadlift. And yeah, I mean, for sure, do those things. But, you know, it's pretty remarkable how those things can improve when you improve your mobility as well. And so, you know, understanding that mobility is different from flexibility. mobility is, you know, really kind of the almost like the, you know, the secret sauce to making gains and to lifting. And like I said, it gets overlooked, but you know, mobility is kind of the, if you think about it in terms of strength combined with your range of motion. And you know, so if you can't get deep into a squat, it's probably not because the weight is too heavy. It's probably because your mobility isn't very good. And so
so that's a good definition to remember. Mobility is strength
and range of motion.
Yeah. Strength and range of motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there is some overlap. I mean, flexibility and mobility do have a lot to do with each other.
Because, you know, one of the critiques that some guys will make of big bodybuilders, and there's probably some truth to it, is that, you know, they're just so big they can't move.
Yeah. You know,
they can't touch the back of their head or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And that's not very functional if you got to fight a lion in a pit, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So it's really just about having, you know, having functional strength, you know? You can lift heavy and not have good mobility and, you know, you can build muscle and you can be jacked and you can look good, but is it functional? Can you use it or do you just look good?
Maybe that was the problem with the Egyptian who got his weaver's beam taken out of his hands.
That's right.
He was just so jacked. He had no mobility to stop Benaiah.
Yeah, he was just slow and didn't have a good range of motion. that's a pretty good working definition of mobility and why it's important. Why you need to start working on it is, because just spending all of your time in static positions, you know, depending on what you do for a living, you know, if you're sitting or standing or being pretty stationary, then your body's going to get tight and you're not going to have an optimal range of motion. And, you're not going to be able to really adequately activate certain muscle groups within your body. I mean, it's just really as simple as that. And so, so what this means is you need to start incorporating, different movements or exercises that increase mobility, that increase range of motion, and also increase flexibility. And so I'm not going to get into a ton of specifics on what those are, because that's going to take a lot of explanation. And I still really haven't, just to be honest, haven't really figured out the best plan of attack on how to explain that. You know, I shared with you before we started recording, then it's almost like I would want to just sit down in a room with a bunch of dudes and just start talking and answering questions and then, give some examples of what some movements are.
Which, let me interject here for a moment and say there will be an opportunity where you guys can come do that. Our conference, my church puts on a conference, and it's happening April 1st. But after the conference, there will be a post-conference event at a local venue, and we're going to have a live podcast with the Majesty's Men guys. So Brandon and I will be there, and Riley, who runs Majesty's Men, and some other guys. But that will be an opportunity. If you guys want to come out to that, then we can definitely have those discussions too.
Yeah, so That'd be great. I look forward to it. Yeah, this is year three. I've been to the first two and look forward to this one. So definitely come out if you can. It'd be a good time. Some of the things that really kind of brought up the topic of mobility within the chat is that, you know, some guys are dealing with injuries, either existing prolonged injuries or new injuries that have come from lifting. And oftentimes, the reason that happens is because our mobility is pretty poor. You know, if you're doing really any kind of movement, let's just take like an overhead press, for example, and you don't have good mobility, a good range of motion in your shoulders, then you're going to be more prone to injury in doing a lift like that, especially if you're lifting heavy. Which, you know, most guys are going to want to try to lift heavy. You know, we tend to try to lift heavier than we should, especially in a movement that, that we're probably not prepared to do with that kind of weight. And so, one of the biggest reasons I would say, other than just, what I've already touched on, is that it lends to, greater, functionality of muscle. It also helps prevent getting injured, and so it's going to make you stronger, and it's going to make you more resilient. It's going to make you, less prone to injury.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, and I just kind of made the connections in my mind. You know, I'm a baseball guy, and there's this guy in the Cardinals. If anybody follows him, Tyler O'Neill, he's one of the most jacked players in Major League Baseball. He's just a walking muscle. The guy's huge. And his father is a professional weightlifter in Canada. So he does a lot of weightlifting and stuff, but he's been plagued like the last 2-3 years of his career with injuries. He just can't stay on the field. Mm-hmm. He's constantly tearing or pulling something, and it's been a big problem with his career. And it's got to the point where this off season, his camp was talking about how, yeah, this off season he's going to be doing a little bit less of the heavy weights, working on his mobility, mm-hmm. and range of motion, things like that, and not going as heavy to prevent, so he can hopefully stay on the field this year. So it's very practical.
Well, if you think back to
fit guys,
you think back to the episode where we talked about, I don't remember the name of it, but the, you know, the Tom Brady system that he came
TB12,
up with.
TB12, yeah.
Like that was really honestly the part of that whole system that I thought was the most sound. Yeah. And why was it in there? It was because Tom Brady's an old quarterback and he was trying to either recover or prevent injury. Yeah. And so, you know, to put it really simply, if I've experienced this a lot, you guys maybe have too. You may not know that it's called this, but I mean, it's not uncommon to get what's referred to as an impingement, and that happens in the joints a lot, shoulders, hips, those types of things. You get an impingement, and it sets you back. It's an injury that, you know, you've got to kind of take a different approach on your workouts and allow that area of the body to heal and recover. We've got one guy in the chat that's the case right now. And I told him, like, you just need to restructure your workouts, give your body time to heal and recover. It will, if you give it the time to do so. But you get an impingement is because, you know, you don't have a good range of motion in the joint. Like if you're doing a deadlift and you don't have good mobility in your hips or your hamstrings are tight, then, you know, what's referred to as accessory muscles will jump in on those lifts. Right, so it'll move into other muscle groups that you wouldn't as commonly use in a lift like that if you had proper range of motion, and I mean, just really simply, they're not primed for that type of movement under that type of tension and weight, and so, you know, that's what causes, you know, something to go bad, and you'll get an impingement, or you'll tear something. You know, the opposite of that, what you want is to have flexible hips and hamstrings, and so you're less vulnerable to injury. And so, you know, I would say those are really the two biggest selling points on why mobility is important, is that it's, you know, it's going to prevent injury and it's going to make you stronger.
Yeah.
And so, I guess I would say it's definitely something that I would encourage you guys. It's something that I've done for a long time, since really kind of doing all the calisthenics, bodyweight stuff. You know, I'm not saying do yoga. You know, it isn't that. It's just, you know, it's doing certain stretching movements. You know, depending on your level of preparedness, I guess, in your body, you know, it's either just your own body weight or you add weight to it. It's as simple as, you know, toe touches or, you know, or side arches. And then you can add weight to those to try to increase the range of motion and flexibility. So start doing it. And maybe you're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. I don't know what those things are. It'll come. I'll share that at some point. We can, maybe it's something that we can talk about at some point once I figure out how to do this in this format. If you want to increase strength and muscle and prevent injury, then I would very strongly encourage you to start including mobility training into your workouts, at least a couple of times, you know, two to three times. And it can be as simple as just, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of a certain, you know, stretching routine, just before you go to bed or just whenever you have some downtime during the day.
Sounds good, man. That's I think that's really helpful. And yeah, I don't think I have anything to add to that. So
good yeah, stuff. I can tell you guys too. At 42 years of age, the older you get, the more you're going to need it. So you know, I may not be the wisest, most experienced guy, but I've experienced this, and so I can speak from personal experience.
Yeah, and if you have little boys in your house, if you're a dad and you got little boys, I think lots of good wrestling I think will probably help out in the mobility area. So get down on the floor and just go all in.
Yeah, that's right.
So, well, we got a challenge we want to make for you guys this week. And this one will be sort of a choose-your-own-adventure challenge, basically. But whatever compound lift you so choose, try and set your own personal record.
Yeah.
And on a one lift PR. So, yeah.
Compound lift, if you don't know, being overhead press, bench press, deadlift, or squat.
Yeah.
Shoot for a personal best.
Yep. I like it. So, hope to hear let us know if you're in the chat or wherever, and let us know what it is, what you're going to do, what your PR is, and that'll be fun to see. So, well, I hope this has been helpful for you guys and enjoyable, and if you like it and you want to give us 5 stars or share the show or both, that would be much appreciated. So, yeah. We would we'll give a review as long as it's a good review, and
that's what we want.
That's what we want. So, all right, guys. Well, I hope this helps you as you make gains for the new Christendom. So, until next time, happy lifting.